I did teach four-year-olds once. I thought that was pretty dangerous. Yeah. I tell you that last year. And I was completely unarmed as well. So SASRA, what does it stand for? So what I'm going to do is let's run through some things just in case you know nothing about SASRA, but I hope there'll be something new for those who do, and give you some updates. So SASRA, that's what it stands for, Soldiers and Airmen Scripture Readers Association. But as I probably said to you last year, what do the RAF now call airmen and airwomen? Aviators. So you will hear that phrase. It all started in 1818 with Sergeant Rudd. I'll tell you this very, very briefly. Christian, concerned for the soldiers in the barracks at Woolwich, put a little note on a notice board, just said, if anyone wants to borrow a Bible, please see me, Sergeant Rudd. He had no idea how God would use that mess, that little note. He got into trouble. There ended up with a big fight between the commandant and some leading Christians about whether the soldiers would get Bibles. To cut a long story short, a horse and cart with boxes full of Bibles arrived about a year later, enough for every room in the barracks. And more than that, within a few years, King's regulations stated every soldier joining the British Army must be given a Bible. So you don't know. Your earnest prayer, you don't know how God will use it. Be encouraged in our day. We need those encouragements when in our day, Bible-believing Christians are so marginalised. Okay, 1838, SASRA regards it as its birthday because a group of Christian officers wrote down a job description in 1838. See, what had happened is it was wonderful soldiers would be given Bibles, but they realised pretty soon that there was a problem. Do you remember what the problem was? The soldiers couldn't read. So these officers clubbed together, paid money, their own money, put it into a pot and said, right, we're going to pay for Christians to go onto the bases and read the Bibles, their own Bibles, to the soldiers. What shall we call them? Scripture readers. That's where the phrase comes from. And we still have scripture readers today. There's somebody, there's one of them on the left. They have scripture reader written on their arms. They're given permission to wear uniform. Soldiers don't know what their rank is, so they find it very difficult. Sometimes when they meet them, they don't know whether to salute them or brace. They don't quite know what to do. And so they'll often ask. They're not soldiers. They have served. They have served. But they're not soldiers. They're actually civilians in military uniform on site. And the only reason they're on site is for the SASRA mission, which is simply that. So our mission is that all men and women in the British Army, in the Royal Air Force, will hear the gospel during their time in uniform. That's simply it. And just like you as a local church, you'll help in the community in any way, won't you? You will. You'll help out in any way. But you'll do so because you want to be light and salt in the world. And our scripture readers on bases will help out in any way they can. But they're there to share their faith, to make the Saviour known. Of course, it's very urgent. One of the reasons it's urgent is many of the people that we're dealing with are aged 17 to 24. And the army recruits from the toughest, most challenging areas of British society. And many of the recruits have a reading age of under 11. Average reading age of under 11, and they come from very, very dysfunctional, broken backgrounds. Really challenging. And for them, normally in their area, some of them, quite a significant proportion, normal course of life for them is crime, addiction, and possibly prison down the line. Maybe they might make it in the British Army. That's the areas that the army are seeking to recruit from. So of course it's really urgent, and of course it's really dangerous. We're asking these young people to do incredibly dangerous things. As Lord Dannett, eminent Christian, head of the British Army, said, well, I'll let you read that for yourself, but to paraphrase, we're asking these young people to risk their lives. And he said not to tell them about the hope that Christian has, he felt was something of a betrayal. So of course it's dangerous and it's urgent. And why does SASRA exist? It's because the barracks are fenced and they're guarded and I can't go there and neither can you. Okay, but there's a scripture reader who has permission to go behind the wire and to share his faith. He's in uniform, but he's actually a civilian with permission from the British Army to go behind the base. That's it, really. We have no access, thanks. We have no access for the local church, so we go on behalf of the local church. So many of you would know quite a lot of that. Just thought I'd share with you just a little bit more. How is it we have this opportunity? It's 2023, this is secular Britain. How is it that the army say, yes, you can come onto base, you can give out Bibles, you can share your faith, you can run Christianity Explore? How is that in 2023? Well, it's because, I think partly because of the young people they're recruiting. These young people have never, ever, ever really, many of them, had any sort of what we would describe as sort of basic moral teaching, right and wrong, and they wouldn't have never been inside a church, never looked at a Bible, wouldn't know what was in the Bible, couldn't give you any of the commandments, yet they're going to be armed, sent to conflict zones, and they're going to be shot at. What happens when they capture the people who are shooting at them? Imagine the backgrounds that some of these men and women have come from. So the army are desperate that they should learn basic moral Christian principles. The sanctity of life. Every single life matters. Self-control, discipline. Who's going to teach that to these young people? Never heard anything like it before, sadly, some of them. The scripture readers, they could do that. And that's one of the functions that our scripture readers has, as far as the army is concerned. Apart from obviously helping soldiers in great need, because many, many soldiers suffer from great mental anguish and great spiritual needs too. So that's one of the reasons, I think. Here's some examples of where we work. This is Kevin and Mike at the Jackson Club. That's like a cafe. It's near Aldershot. It's very popular with soldiers. It's famous for cheesy beans, which is lashings of cheese and beans and the bread on cheese and beans. I think lasagna. I think cheese. It's incredible. Not to be recommended if you're dieting. To be perfectly frank, but I wouldn't want you to quote me, not to be recommended if you're not, to be honest, but there we are. Very, very popular Jackson Club. We have a scripture reader there, Mike. He's on your right. He's got an office there. And he goes and seeks to speak to soldiers. And he always says, look, what we're all looking for is God-given opportunity. If I go and speak to soldiers and they're talking about the football, I try to turn that into a spiritual conversation. I very often fall flat on my face. But God gives opportunity. God provides opportunity. He said one day he stopped in a lay-by. He was halfway to work. He didn't really want to go. Bear in mind, our scripture readers, the only reason they're going on the base is because they're Christians. It's not an easy thing to do. He stopped in a lay-by and asked the Lord for permission to go home. He didn't really feel like being a Christian evangelist today. But in the end, he went in. He said the first person he spoke to for 3 hours about spiritual needs, just out of nowhere. That's what our scripture readers ask for. That's what we pray for. God-given opportunity. This is a health fair at Aldershot. There's Mike and a chap called Steve behind the desk. Army desperately keen, obviously, on health fairs, dealing with mental health and physical health and so on. They'll have psychologists, psychiatrists, doctors, all sorts of people there. They'll also have Sazra talking about spiritual health. And Steve and Mike said they didn't have to move all day, all morning, because they had a steady stream of soldiers wanting to know what this was all about, taking literature, taking Bibles, and so on. Now, I don't know how well this is going to work. This is a little video clip. Do you think we'll have sound on it? This is Josh, who I'm going to mention in a minute, talking about mental health.
Well, I think there's a beautiful scripture here in Isaiah 26, verse 3. That says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Ultimately, as Christians, we know that the key to perfect peace is having your mind fixed on the Lord, focused on him. And there are many really good mental health coping strategies in the world. Some of them have been tremendously helpful to many people. But from my perspective as a Christian, I think the ultimate help that we have to keep our minds in perfect peace isn't to try and create our own peace, but to go to the giver of peace, the God of peace. And so our job as a scripture reader is, yes, to help people, yes, to give them, you know, general good advice that, you know, about how to cope with various things, but our aim is to go beyond that and to point them to the God of peace and to introduce them to the God of peace, because ultimately we believe that he is the one who can keep us in perfect peace.
So Josh is at Hyde Park Barracks. He's a pastor. He's written a great book, by the way, but he's a pastor. And that's where they do all of the ceremonial stuff. Haven't they been amazing over the last couple of years? The truth is, though, most of the soldiers don't really want to be doing this stuff. Hyde Park Barracks has the highest suicide rate in the British Army. It's really tough. They find it really, really challenging there. And Josh is there. He has amazing opportunities. He goes around the barracks. For example, a little example. He has a little devotional he does every morning and sends it on WhatsApp. Just a little Bible devotional. He's got 40 soldiers signed up to receive that devotional, including the commandant at the at Hyde Park Barracks and so on. So it's quite a remarkable opportunity. He went to. He has a one-to-one meeting with one of the leading guys who's in a department which deals with uniform. They're always changing uniform and so on and so forth. He went to see him one day to set up his meeting. The guy said, "I'm really sorry, Josh, can't come today, can't make it today." Josh said, "No, not a problem, that's fine." And as he's turning to go, he says, "Hold on a minute, Josh." And he then turns to the room of several soldiers who are working under him. He says, "Right, everyone put your work down for a minute. Josh has got something to say to you." And so Josh is presented with this opportunity for 5 minutes just to give a little Bible devotional, a little gospel message to these, a captive audience. So there's kind of remarkable opportunities, surprising opportunities. That's his book. Her Majesty, her late Majesty, as you may be aware, was our patron, as was her father, as was her grandfather. So one of our prayer request is about the royal patronage. The way it works is that the palace write to us and they will inform us as to whether the king will continue with the royal patronage or not, and if not, ask us to choose a leading royal. You get one chance to choose a leading royal. And there are some leading royals who would share our faith and so on. So patronage doesn't seem that important, but actually, when Sadr is under attack from humanist society, atheist society, people going on to the army saying, "Why are you allowing evangelical Christians on the bases giving out Bibles?" Do you know what? It's quite a helpful card to play to say, "Did you know the commander in chief is our patron?" That's a difficult one to answer. So royal patronage is a help to us. So if the king decides to take that on. Although it's obviously there's a challenge there with God not having the same faith as his mother, it still provides some protection. But there are other leading royals. It would be helpful for us. Here's our main prayer request: royal patronage. The big thing is more scripture readers. We'd love to have more scripture readers. We've got about 15. In World War II, we had 200, 170 men and 30 women. We'd love to have 30 scripture readers. To have 30 scripture readers, that's going to be a big challenge for Sazer. We obviously employ them, we pay them, we provide often their accommodation and so on. But for them, they need to be Christians who've served. They need to love to share their faith. They have to be wise. You have to be wise. You could shut down an opportunity for a decade in a barracks, in a camp, if you don't exercise some wisdom. You have to demonstrate your worth by building up relationships and so on a base. That's our big prayer request, that we might have more scripture readers. We're currently interviewing for several, and it would be lovely if those folk are called to that work. Because there are so many areas in the country where we don't have scripture readers, and we'd love to have scripture readers. And there are other areas, like Bry's, which isn't a million miles from here, where it's a very big base. We have one guy there called Steve Curley. We'd love to have more than one on the base. And also the Ukrainian conflict, amongst all the horror of it all, our scripture readers have had opportunity to share with young men from Ukraine. One of the scripture readers held a service for these young men. They were being trained. He said it's very moving. A number of these young men, they're all young men, a number of the young men at the end stayed behind after the service. It was a field service. And some of them were weeping, he said. And they weren't weeping because they knew that within a month or two, they'd be in the front line and a third of them would be injured or dead within a month. He said they were weeping because they wanted to be at peace with God before they went on the front line. He said it was very moving. So our need is for prayer, for our scripture readers. If you don't get our prayer, have access to our prayer materials. We have a prayer journal that's online and so on. You know, please do sign up. We have a sign-up sheet. We do rely on giving of churches. Volunteer role. David is your advocate, so he does. His role is to be all things Sazra here. Give out magazines. I don't know how many of you get our magazines, but we've got some here. They come out twice a year. Dave, I don't know how many you get, whether you get a pack of them or whatever, but if you would like you get a pack and you give them out. Yeah, great, fantastic. But if you've never seen them, everything on that table is free, so please do, if you want to take a copy and find out a little bit more. And thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate it. We couldn't do it without you, which is one of our slogans, and it's absolutely true, and we really do need that prayer support of churches like yourself, so thanks so much. Thank you.
Let's just pray, shall we? Father, we just thank you for bringing David here today, and thank you for his work and the work of the rest of the scripture readers. And we ask a blessing on that work, and we just pray that there will be fruit from the work that goes on. And as David comes to speak to us now, I just pray your spirit will be upon him, and you give him the words to speak from your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.